Let's raise our hands in thanksgiving today that the Holy Spirit is here, that His Word is true, and His purpose is to glorify Christ. And we just thank Him today in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen. This message is for all of us, obviously. We may very well learn some things today that we need to understand. I just want to start out. Our text is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And it just says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, we need, you know, God is blessed simply because all blessings flow from Him. Okay, we bless God and thank Him that all spiritual blessings flow from Him. Okay, so, you know, we need to thank and praise Him for that. And we'll talk about that in a second. Who has blessed us? Okay, not going to bless us, has blessed us. Okay. I think that's sometimes where believers get mixed up and they begin to pray for blessings when they're already blessed. Has blessed us, say has blessed us,
has blessed us.
With all. You see, God never left anything out.
Amen.
Through the cross, nothing. He never left anything undone. He blessed us beyond what we can comprehend or think that we need. Okay. Has blessed. Say has blessed.
Has blessed.
Say it's a past tense reality.
It's a past tense reality.
All right. Thank you. With all spiritual blessings. Okay. All, because there's a lot of spiritual blessings. How would you like to have a catalog of every spiritual blessing? Now, that would not mean that you have the reality of that spiritual blessing, but you would know, at least have an idea of an opportunity, let me put it this way, to understand what it is. All spiritual blessings. And, of course, they're in heavenly places in Christ. And I'm going to just show you that in a minute because, you know, here in the world, everything is stolen from us. In heavenly places, the blessings of the cross can't be corrupted, can't be misused, can't be stolen, like it is on in the earth. You know, if it's got to do with money, we're being robbed. That's how governments work. I'm not here to criticize the government. I'm just telling you that anything that's here in earth, Satan corrupts it and misuses it. Where in heavenly places, when God has provided a blessing, it is secure and it is pure. It can't be corrupted. Okay, it can be unbelieved. It can be misunderstood. But the reality of what it really was intended to be can never, ever, ever be corrupted. It remains pure. It remains real. Okay. So this is a kind of situation we're in with every spiritual blessing. Now, the one thing that I want to try and help us all understand is that, number one, how to pray for spiritual blessings. Boy, my eyes have been opened to how to pray in the Word of God. Okay. Number one, of course, you cannot pray for something that has already been given. And of course, that's one of the biggest problems with all a lot of us and believers. We're asking God for things that have already been given. Well, He can't answer that prayer. He can't violate His will. Okay. When something has been given, we need to understand that it's been given. You know, we don't have to beg, we don't have to plead, we don't have to wonder about it, we don't have to be in doubt of it. If God blessed us with it at the cross, past tense, then it's a gift that we are to appropriate. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. And so many times people are begging and pleading and obviously in doubt about what the cross has done. So, you know, the first thing that I started to understand is, how do you pray for a spiritual blessing? How do you pray for it? Okay. If He's already given it. Okay. So I'm going to read a prayer. You know, and the amazing thing that I have found out about the Word of God after, you know, and I wish that, well, wish, I should have known a long time ago how to pray correctly from the Bible. The Bible tells us how to pray correctly. And guess what? If you pray that way in faith, you're going to get results. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not living my Christian life in a way that I don't want to get results. I'm worthy, through the blood of Jesus, through my redemption, to get results in my relationship with God. Okay. So what I did is the first prayer, and, you know, I'm now kind of working in a way to catalog prayers. That doesn't mean God will answer them unless you put you believe in them, but I'm just saying that. So, how to pray for spiritual blessings? Okay. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 16 through 23. And Paul starts out saying, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. Okay, you see what I'm saying? I'm mentioning someone now. Thanking God that He's at work in their life. I make mention. Thank you, Lord, for my wife, that You're revealing Yourself to her in a way that she can understand You. I don't have to. When you talk about mention, you don't have to pray for 5 hours for the person. Mention their name and then thank God for them, that He's at work in their life. That's an effective prayer. That's an effective prayer. When I mention someone's name, I want to bless them. I want them, the Lord, to reveal Himself to them Okay, so I, you know, there's the first thing. You think that, you know, sometimes you think you got to pray 5 hours for a person. Mention their name and then thank God for them that he's at work in their life. That's probably a 30-second prayer. But it's an effective prayer. Okay. If we don't know how to pray, God really can't answer our prayers when we're praying in error. And then Paul goes on to write that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and I can't cover all these points or I'd be here for 20 hours, that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm trying to go slow. The whole prayer is based on knowing what God has already given us, what he's already done, instead of praying in error, asking God for something he's already done. Our understanding needs to be open. We need to have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, he not only gives us the wisdom to understand what we're receiving, but he gives revelation, revealing the reality of these blessings in the knowledge of him. Now, there's all kinds of knowledge out there. There's just so much error. People misinterpreting or not understanding and coming to a conclusion that's a misunderstanding. Okay. I want the knowledge of him. I want wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of their understanding being enlightened. He's trying to show you what you already have. Our eyes need to be open. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the spiritual blessings that we already have. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. They need to be defined, and our eyes need to be opened by the Holy Spirit to what they are. That's effective prayer. Okay, and he says, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. See what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit opens your spiritual eye, and all of a sudden, what you can't see, you can now see. Isn't that a blessing that your eyes are open? And if they don't get open, you're never going to be able to put your faith in his spiritual blessings and what you have. Okay. Say the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. That you may know. You can't put faith in anything that you don't know, that you don't have a conviction on. I want to know. You know, I don't want to guess. I don't want to try and figure it out on my own. What is the hope of his calling? I don't know about you, but that, you know, I want to fulfill. A calling is a spiritual blessing. It's your destiny. You know, when you die, your works will follow. Okay. I don't want to be stumbling around in life, but I want to walk with God to fulfill the calling that he put on my life. And of course, that's always under attack, always. What is the hope of his calling? I have a hope in Christ for future fulfillment, right up until the time I leave this planet. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Say the riches of his glory of his inheritance. Okay. All the world thinks about is you know, natural or monetary inheritance. That's the big deal. And they'll lose their soul to get it. Okay. We have an inheritance. Riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'm in the saints. When I got saved, I'm a part of the body of Christ. There's people living. They're not a part of the body of Christ. And that's why I stay committed to the body, because that's where God put the church, not independent of. I won't go no more in that. Another teaching. But that's the great falling away that people are deceived in believing. Riches of the glory of his... I did that teaching, didn't I? How long ago was that, Jamie, that I did that? I did a teaching on the riches of the glory of his inheritance. I have I have a catalog of them, not that that means anything, if you don't put your faith in it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? I have to understand his power. It's real. We're not appropriating it. We're not putting our faith in it. We're overcome by the world and demonic power because we don't have a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power. Okay, we had communion today here. Sometimes it's just a ritual that we go through. It has no meaning. What is the meaning of the body and blood? What is the meaning and the power of that? Okay, and it just, I'm not trying to make us feel bad, but we don't really have the reality of these things. Okay, I'm just trying to wake you up. This is a prayer that God gives us to pray. This is a prayer that God is going to answer. Lord, what is the exceeding greatness of your power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead? What is the greatness of that power? The Holy Spirit's the one that has to open our eyes to that prayer. I want to know the greatness of his power. I want to walk in the reality of that. I want to grow in the reality of that. Okay. So, when I pray this, I really have to get serious about praying this prayer. To us word. He wants to show us Christ's power to us. This is not a mystery he is withholding from us. It is to be real to us. To us word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. We believe. Okay, in the shed blood of Jesus. We believe in the broken body of Jesus. Okay. This is where, these are places where he manifests his power. When we pray for an understanding of what spiritual blessings are, God manifests his power in these areas. Okay, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places. That is such a profound statement that I could you know, I mean, we could try and spend several hours just on that statement alone. And then he says, far above, say far above. You're going to see what I mean in a second. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. You see, there's nothing Christ has not defeated. Okay. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. You know, God, there's where the spiritual blessings are, in heavenly places. They're not in earthly places. Satan can't steal them. He can only deceive us not to believe in them. They can never be corrupted. You see what I'm saying? They can never be corrupted. Far above, how far above? We don't have a revelation. We don't understand that. That's God reveals himself as the, he says, I am the high and lofty one. I think that's somewhere in Isaiah, who inhabits eternities. And I dwell in the high and holy place. And then he goes on to say something astonishing. And with them, trying to think of what the rest of the verse is, and with them, who are humble. Now that's God give us a revelation of how high. It's uncomprehendable almost. Far above. And he has put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church. You got a pair of feet, right? We need to get a revelation of our feet. He's put stuff under us. He wants us to dominate the demonic principalities and powers. He's already given us the authority. Don't cry out. Don't pray wrong. You already been given the authority. If you don't use it, don't ask God to use it for you. That's wrong praying again. See what I'm saying? Crying out to God to do something that he's already done. There's another good example of it. He put it under our feet. He expects us to exercise our authority. All right. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So I just want to read something to you now. I better watch our time here. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. Wow. We got another hour yet. No. Now I just want to show you another spiritual reality. And I don't have the text, but the scripture, but it's in Ephesians chapter 2. I know that. Maybe we have, there it is. Okay. Yeah, we don't have the reference to this one. Who's seated us in a finished work of spiritual blessing. Say it with me. He seated us in a spiritual work, or in a work of spiritual blessing. Now, I don't have the, do I have it? Let me check here. No. It's in the book of Ephesians. Who said that? Okay. Now let's look at this very carefully. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together, or made us alive together. Say together. This is a big deal. With Christ, by grace are you saved. Now look at verse 6. And raised us up. Say, raised us up. You can't go any higher than that. You know, there's no double standard there. We're raised up and seated with Christ. Okay. You ain't going to get any higher than that. There is nothing any higher in the universe. You're in the highest seat in the universe. Raised us up, but together. Boy, I'll tell you. I'm glad that I died at the cross and my life is hidden. Our life is hidden with God in Christ. Okay. That's why I like that song, Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, which he's already cleft, so you know I'm not asking him to do something he's already done. I received him as my Savior. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me find myself in thee. Through the water and the blood, from thy wounded side did flow. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me find myself. Where are you finding yourself? In him. What does that mean to be in him? If you're in him, you're in his blessing, right? Okay. So, I love that song. And that's where I found that stone that morning when I went down to the river and I asked God what the rock would be, you know. And I found that rock sticking out of the water, the tip of it. And I really didn't know. I found a hollow stick to a branch that just, it's bizarre. That's impossible. And nobody, you know, I'm sure there are people that will not understand this, but so I asked the Lord about that stone. All of a sudden, it took a long time, but I keep that stone on by my bed, and every morning, okay, I thank God that I'm in the rock of ages. I remind myself that I am in him. Nothing wrong with having a natural reminder. Okay. So he raised us up together, and I'm glad we're together, or I'd be lost if I wasn't together with him. Say, I'm together with him. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Powerful prayer. Okay, and it's a very powerful prayer. And it's something that you need to write down and you need to pray every day in faith, because God will answer that prayer. Okay, and here's another one that God answers. Our prayers need to be 100% scriptural so that we know for sure when we pray in faith that God hears that prayer. Now, he's opening our eyes, right? To open the eyes of our understanding. My understanding needs to be open. We're not smart enough or clever enough to understand something on our own. The Holy Spirit must open our eyes and he must show us. Now, here's another one that I have prayed for a long time. Here's another one you need to write down. Colossians 1, 19 through 13. This is one that, you know, I've always gotten results with it. You know, when my mind is like, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want to show me? I pray that prayer and I'm just patient. And then he gives me wisdom and revelation. For this cause, we also, this is Colossians 1:9, also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, so how do you pray for someone? How do you pray for someone? And desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Say the knowledge of his will. You know, when you talk about people, forget about criticizing and bashing them and running them down. Forget about hatred. Pray for people. Even if they've done you wrong, pray for them. That God would reveal himself to them. I don't want to curse people. I want to bless people. Say, I want to bless people. You know, Tony and I, our house is silent. We don't sit and criticize people. The only thing we do is pray for them. Even if they, you know, have done us wrong, or there's too much of that. We're not called to be cursed people. We're called to bless people. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Who doesn't need to know spiritual understanding? Who doesn't need to know how to properly apply the word? That's wisdom. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Do you want to walk worthy? Unto all pleasing. Do you want to please God? Okay, I want the way I live and walk to be worthy to glorify God. And I want to please him. I want to exercise my faith effectively. How many know without faith it's impossible to please him? That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. I don't know about you, but I have a desire in my heart to please God, to walk worthy. Okay. Might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And you know, it's like, I can't believe that when I wake up in the morning and instead of thinking about myself, that's one of our biggest problems is self-centeredness. Okay. Let me just say it this way. Self-centeredness is sin. Okay. It's not about you. True faith will just put their life in God's hands. And, you know, I put this into practice last week, and I ended up, you know, trying not to think about myself at all, which sometimes that's hard when you're hurting or there's something. And, you know, I had a real opportunity, you know, to minister to people. Every one of us is in need. And you know what? Spiritual, natural things aren't going to fulfill that need. That's what the world's after. That you might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing. How many want to please the Lord? How many want to walk worthy? Being fruitful in every good work. Okay. There have been times where, you know, I didn't feel fruitful at all. Increasing. You know, you're never going to get to a point where you exhaust his knowledge in this life or the life to come, really. But you are in a walk where you are anticipating and growing in his increase by renewing your mind on the word. You know, the Bible says that he just, you know, God says, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That needs to be a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Sometimes, you know, people just give up or give in or get tired or don't try and renew their mind. And then strengthened, verse 11, with all might. You know, Lord, I can't keep going, but Lord, your strength is unlimited and eternal. According to the glorious power, say glorious power. That's how he strengthens us. It's not in and of our own strength. It's his glorious power. Unto all patience, say patience. You know, that patience is of course a fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't have patience, and long suffering with joyfulness, this world is insane. And you're always going to be upset about the injustice and the evil that's going on in the world. What did Jesus say about the world? He says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So the world's already been overcome. We just need to learn how to face it in our faith in God. It isn't going to change as far as the insanity and the hatred and the corruption and the sin. Not going to change. But we have the authority to overcome that and not let it destroy us. I'm not going to be destroyed it says in the world, what are you going to have? You're going to have tribulation. You're not going to escape that as long as you're in the world. You know, and you might get to some place, some point at some time where you just said, boy, I just wish I could go be with the Lord. Okay, long suffering. Say long suffering. Say patience. Long suffering, that's another fruit. And then joyfulness is another fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We cannot reflect this on our own. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then giving thanks unto the Father. Okay, we just, you know, last week I think I talked about giving thanks. Say giving thanks unto the Father. In the Bible says in everything give thanks. Not for everything, but in the fact that God is with you in and through the crisis that you're, we're in a crisis in this world. It's, and you could even start to fear about, you know, what could happen or what's going to happen. And the only security that we really have is in Christ and his promises. You know, if you're afraid of, Job was afraid. He says, the things I greatly feared came upon me. Fear is fear. Fear is, it started at the beginning when Adam and Eve fell. Original sin resulted in fear. And we have to avoid getting into fear of loss or losing something, or I don't know about you, I've been under every kind of attack I could possibly be under. How powerful these scriptures are, these prayers are. Giving thanks unto the Father that made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's that giving thanks for what God has already done. You're not giving thanks for what you want him to do, other than if it's a prayer, you know, like for the future. You have an inheritance. And I catalog that one day in a teaching. I catalog all the realities of our inheritance. They're all spiritual inheritance. But who has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? We need to be constantly reminded that we are delivered. Not going to be delivered, but we are delivered. Say, I'm delivered. You know, that's where true faith begins to work at that point. And has translated us. How many know what that word translation means? Mm-hmm. Into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now we're in the kingdom of his dear Son. We're seated with his dear Son in heavenly places. We're seated with his dear Son in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but that's a faith builder for me. Well, let's stand up. Sing with me again, if you could, Rock of Ages. Could you do that? Say it with me. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let's start over again. Now, he's already cleft if you're saved, so I understand that. I'm not asking him to cleft for me now. He cleft for me you know, so many years ago now that, let's sing it. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me find myself in thee. Through the water and the blood, from thy wounded side did flow. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me find myself in thee. How many know water came out of his side? What does the Bible say about that? We're cleansed by the what? The washing of the water. We're redeemed by the blood, but we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. I'm going to get me a big cup. And I'm going to put the washing of the water. I'm going to thank him that we're redeemed by the blood and the washing of the water of the word every day. Water is in the natural is a very unique thing. Well, don't get me into that right now, but I
thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.